Hi, I'm Pastor Torrin Brooks, and welcome to Faith Christian Church. Delighted you decided to join us today. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to be looking through God's Word and finding ways for it to apply to our lives today. Hope you enjoy this morning's sermon. I'm enjoying this sermon series. I don't know about you, but I'm having a lot of fun with it. Why not? I'm allowed to have fun. If I want to have fun, I can have fun. And I'm excited about today's service as much as I have the others. And because you know we need to do something with the idea of the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Where's my seat on the couch? No, we need to realize that the knowledge of Jesus rising from the dead was not something we were supposed to tuck in our back pockets and keep to ourselves. The knowledge that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead is one of the greatest declarations the church can have, because they can't say that about Buddha. And they can't say, now I got to be careful what I say next, because you know the people that write South Park are already condemned for saying stuff about Muhammad that wasn't true. But here's the truth, Muhammad's still dead. But Jesus is not. Jesus is not in the grave. He's alive. And there's a fact that we ought to be telling the world. But be honest, it's the most quieted fact in the church. We would rather say, well, God gives us the strength to do this, and God gives us strength to do that, and it's all about us, and not, you know, and we got to do our own. And my favorite, I hear this all the time, and it's not a bad statement, it's a true statement, but people say God helps those that help themselves. But you know, Jesus helps us a lot more than I could ever help myself. I'm going to try that again, just for all you didn't catch it. So, Jesus helps me a lot more than I could ever help myself. And so there comes a part where we have to say to ourselves, listen, the fact that Jesus is alive ought to mean more to us than anything else in the world. Because with him being alive, his covenant's still alive, his words are still true, and they bring life and help and hope to all those who ask for it. Well, we're going to keep going on with this video, too. I love these videos. These are fun for me to make. And I just pray that you understand the intent of what we're trying to say through these videos is that we understand that people have issues with coming to church, but the greatest thing they could ever do in their life is come and find Jesus. Amen. All right? So here's this week's video.
Watching the news. Ain't no good on TV. Ain't no good on radio. Ain't no good in newspaper. Yeah, well, my wife says she's got good news, but you know how that goes. Women. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, I got your call about going fishing Sunday. Well, I can't go. Don't quit your yapping. No, I'm not sick. I'd love to go fishing. We've been fishing for 15 years together, George, but I told my wife I'd go with her to church. Would you stop that? It's not that bad. Well, I guess it's not that bad. No, I'm not really worried what's going to happen. What do you mean what's going to happen? Look, it's only one time. She even called it a date. Yeah, you know, I never go on them no more. Once is enough every 2-3 years. Look, stop your worrying, man. You sound all paranoid, like something's going to change in my life or something. I ain't changed for 25 years. I'm not about to start now. Well, you know, that's true. He ain't been the same since he went. Nor her neither. Come think of it. A lot of our friends have been going to church and come back different. Used to be 10 of us go fishing on Sunday. Yeah, well, you know, yeah, but look, would you calm down? It's going to be all right. Look, I'll go fishing with you next Sunday. no, you don't need to have backup. No, 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 don't bring the spare car to church in case I need to leave early. Well, that's a good plan. You do that. And make sure they know me and my wife are both coming to the church's fried chicken afterwards. That's right. Yeah, save us a seat. I don't know what time it ends. 12:30, 1? What do you mean you're hungry at that time of the night? No, you're not. You're barely up that time of the day. Well, just save us a seat at the restaurant, and we'll meet you after we get done with the church thing. Yeah, yeah, I'll make sure that... No, I'm not going to bring my spare pole in the car. No. No, you don't need to kidnap me to keep me from going. No. Yeah. No, it's fine, George, really. Just, look, I'm sorry. Look, you're my best friend, and I'm sorry, but I got to do this just once. Get her off my back. Well, I don't know. Maybe I will like it. Yeah, I'll talk to you later. All right. You're doing. Well, the news is back on. What's this? More bombs? More fires? Oh, what now?
You know why it's important to read the Word of God? Because the Word of God never returns void. Do you know that? That's why people get, I told you this before, that's why people get so mad seeing the Ten Commandments on the courthouse walls. Because you can't do nothing with the Word of God. It just convicts and just brings people back to God. So you just can't do nothing with that. So let's try this again. Luke, the 24th chapter. Says, in the same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. What things? Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel, and all this happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group, who were his followers, who were at the tomb early this morning, they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing and that they had seen angels that told him Jesus was alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, you foolish people, I find it so hard to believe that all the prophet, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted if he were going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us since it's getting late. So he went home with them. And as they sat down to eat, he took bread and blessed it. And when he broke it, he gave to them. Suddenly their eyes were open. They recognized him. And in that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, did our hearts not burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? I'm going to stop right there. Jesus had a great effect on a lot of people. In fact, most people that Jesus was around were never able to be the same. And you know, to be honest, it should be that way with us. Yeah, I'm going to start preaching early this morning. You know, when you give your life, when you finally decide that you want to give your life to Jesus, and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, and to come into your heart and be your Savior and Lord, how many of you know there's a difference between Savior and a difference between Lord? Everybody wants Jesus to be their Savior because why? They don't want to go to hell. Good reason for me. But not many people want to call him Lord because that means somebody's going to tell you what to do. Yeah. Well, I'm going to preach. Whether you're with me or not, I'm going to preach this morning anyway. Everyone likes to be saved from hell, but nobody really likes somebody else calling the shots. They don't like somebody else saying, you know, if you love me, you won't go to those places you used to go to. You won't drink the same things you used to drink. You won't act the way you used to act. You won't talk the way you used to talk. Because something changes inside of you. In fact, Paul puts it this way. When you ask Jesus into your heart, old things are passed away and all things become new. New. And it should be such a change in your life that when you walk into your friend's house and they ask you, do you want a beer? They feel ashamed because they asked. I had a friend of mine one time. I was helping him out. I was helping him build his deck. We worked together at the construction company. And he walked into his kitchen and brought out two beers on the porch and said, you want a cold one? And all of a sudden it hit him. And I loved it. The convicting power of the Holy Ghost hit him. And he goes, oh man, I'm sorry. Because something's different. Something changes. Something inside of you is not the same. And it pours out on everybody else. Amen. See, the Bible says in Psalms that when he anoints your head with oil, your cup runneth over. And a lot of people don't understand that, but I have, because I've had a waitress overflow my cup before. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. She's in a hurry to get back to other tables who are going to pay, who she thinks are going to pay her more tip money than you. Maybe not. I don't know. Boy, it just hit me. Not everybody may tip. I don't know. But you know, and she starts to pour that glass and something distracts her over here, clinging in the kitchen or something. All of a sudden, the water overflows your cup and it gets out on the table. And because there's not a single table in any restaurant I've ever been in that was level, it just rolls off the table and pours on the other people. Well, when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, the anointing of God ought to be the same effect. You walk into the room with a bunch of strangers, they ought to say, there's something weird about that person. Everyone else in this room is acting giddy and they're acting sober. What's the deal? It's the Lord. It's Jesus being the Lord of your life. It's Him having control. And when you're around, it changes you. The problem is these two guys, they were changed by what he said, but they weren't changed in their hearts. And even with the news of hearing Jesus had rose from the dead, the Bible says when Jesus saw them, they had what? Sadness all over their face. Now think about that for a minute. You would think that these guys who have been hiding up in a hole for a couple of days finally hear the news. Remember, women in our group went to the tomb. And what? They saw angels. I don't know. Maybe it's you, but usually angels don't lie to me. I don't know. You may have never seen an angel. It's probably a good thing because you'd probably get scared. There's a reason when angels show up, they say, fear not. Probably because the most likely reaction of you is you're afraid. I would be too. And I've seen a couple, and it scares me to death. So I hate it when I'm in prayer time, and all of a sudden, you know, the last time I don't really go into it a lot, but last time I was in a deep prayer meditation mode, and I'm praying to God, I'm pouring my heart out to God, and I felt the angel come in the room. And I stopped praying. I said, don't do that to me. Don't sneak up on me like that. Use the door or something. You know? Let me hear you coming in, not just all of a sudden feel you in the middle of the room. It's scary. You would think the angels telling them Jesus had risen from the dead, everyone would believe, but no. Not everybody believed. In fact, these guys said, you know what? If you're going to come in here to this room and lie to us that Jesus is alive, we're gone. We're not sticking around. Because we can't bear the thought of it. Now, here's the problem. Where they were staying in the upper room, to get to Emmaus, they had to go by several places. The easiest route out of Jerusalem to the road to Emmaus would lead them right by the temple. And I can think these guys are sitting there and they got all these great images of Jesus in the temple. Can you imagine? Jesus teaching in the temple. Jesus knocking over the money changers' tables in the temple. Setting free a place for Gentiles to come and worship in the temple. Did you realize that? When Jesus kicked out the money changers, he wasn't just kicking out the greedy people. He was kicking them out of a place that was reserved by God for the Gentile nations to come and worship the Lord at the temple. And see, the Jews didn't care. So what they did was they filled up the whole area with tables and money-changing tables so that the people didn't have a place to worship. When Jesus cleaned it out, praise God, he cleaned out a place for us to come and worship. Amen? He's in symbolism saying, you know what? You've kept this thing to yourselves for all too long. God said through Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to what? The Jewish nation? No, all the nations. All the nations of the world will be blessed through you. He's saying, get out of the way. We need to make room. But then they walk past the temple, and there's the place where Jesus' trial was held at the Roman barracks, the quarters there. I can understand the idea that as they walk by this place where Jesus was beaten and tried, that they were overcome with sudden depression. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, there have always been places that when I drove by them, it reminded me of something horrible that happened. Now, you may not do this, but when I lived in Tennessee, I would go down to pick up some kids on the bus route to come to church, and I would have to drive by a house where three of the kids that I ministered to had died in a car wreck. And every time you drive down that road, and every time you pass by that house, and you see the stump where the tree used to stand, where they hit the tree at 80 miles an hour, it begins, it's almost like this great sadness comes over you. Because you relive the memory all over again, the memory of driving up to the lawn and seeing the mangled car up on the tree and the ambulance workers and everybody trying to save the lives of those who were still alive. And you just, the memory is just so vivid that it springs a deep sorrow over you. And I can imagine they're walking past and they see the place where Jesus had just been beaten and tried and whipped and the crown of thorns and who knows if even the blood stains might have still been visible on the road. And they come down a little further and are walking out the same road, the very same road that Jesus walked out to Golgotha, the place of the skull where he was crucified. It's the same road, same gate you have to go out to get to Emmaus. And they're walking the same road and they're reliving the whole thing all over again. Yeah, they said it was a lie, but where's the proof? From the spot where he was, when you go, according to the map, when you go up the hill, when you go out the gate, you go straight to Emmaus, or you go up to the right to Golgotha, and from the top of the hill overlooking Golgotha, you can also see the place of the garden tomb, and I can just imagine their mindset. Now, they don't go over to the tomb, they keep walking on to Emmaus, but the funny thing is, Jesus shows up, and they're completely oblivious. Because I think they're so overcome with sadness. They're so overcome with their self problems. They don't even realize. Now, the Bible says that God kept them from recognizing him. But you know, they're so caught up in what has happened to them. They don't realize what's happened to him. And Jesus walks up and says, what are you guys talking about? And I love it. They go, where have you been? Now I can just, listen, I can see them being agitated. This isn't just anybody they're talking about. This is Jesus, the one who they spent the past several years of their life following, the one who they say in their discussion with Jesus, they wanted him to be the one to free them from Israel. Their leader has been beaten down and killed, and who are you? Well, he's Jesus. But he's saying, where have you been? Who are you? He says, well, tell me about it. And they begin to go through everything, that they experienced through their eyes, watching Jesus die. And then Jesus comes at them and he says something very strange. He gets mad at them. Because after they tell their story, they want him to be sad with them. They want Jesus to overcome with sorrow and depression about his own death. But Jesus said, did you not understand what it's about? It's not about kingdom. It's about kingdom. It's not about kingdom on earth. It's about kingdom of eternity. So did you not understand the prophets when he wrote them that he was going to have to do this? Because to get to glory, you got to go through suffering. To get to life, you got to go through death. Do you not get it? And then the Bible says that Jesus takes the rest of the trip. I love this. He takes the rest of the trip to explain to them and walk through the entire scriptures with them. And they don't recognize him until he gets to that moment. And you have to understand, they had to have been in the upper room at the Last Supper to get this next part. Right? Because it's the way he broke the bread. Remember the vivid images at the temple, the vivid images at the scene of his trial, the vivid images of walking the road, the vivid images of the mound of the skull, the vivid images as they're walking the road. Now here's another image, but not of one of death, but one of covenant and life. Remember Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he takes the bread and he breaks it. And right then they realize it's Jesus. And as soon as they realize, hey, it's Jesus. He disappears. And they look at each other and they say, I don't know about you, but didn't it just burn inside of you when he began to read and quote the scriptures? Didn't it begin to do something inside of you when all of a sudden you realize this was all a part of a plan? This is all part of a purpose. This is all part of something that he had predestined from the beginning of creation of the earth. And then they go back and they say, you know what? It's late, but we got to go back and tell everybody. We've seen him. And they run all the way back from Emmaus to Jerusalem just in time for everybody to batten down the hatches. And they say, you know what? They're right. We've seen him. And all of a sudden, Jesus pops back up again. He reappears. What does he say? Fear not. Why? Because the next verse says, and they thought they saw a ghost. Why do they keep picturing Jesus as a ghost? I don't know. But he said, it's me. It's me. I'm alive. Now listen. So, Pastor, that's a great story. Good job. Pat yourself on the back. But where do I fit in that story? Today in this world, sometimes we are so caught up in our own self-pity and sorrow that we forget the very reason we're here. We forget that the Jesus who loved us enough to die for our sins, who has given us life and life abundantly, still exists in our world. There are times in our lives where we are so caught up in our own sorrow, in our own pity, in our own cloud of just gloom and doom, that we forget that the Jesus who promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us has still never left us nor forsaken us. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about sinners here. I'm talking about Christians. These guys follow Jesus. Yet they're so caught up in their own story, they don't realize the Son of God is walking beside them. And he has to take an entire road trip with them to reconvince them that the word of God is true. He has to convince them that they're not alone. They'd heard the news, Jesus is risen from the dead. Yet in their minds, you know what they're saying? They're saying, so what? So what? So what if he's risen from the dead? How does that affect me? I don't see him. I don't feel him. And yet he's walking right beside them. I want you to know today, if you love God and you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, ask Jesus to come into your life and to be the Lord and Savior of your life, he is with you. And it doesn't matter what trial you're going through, what circumstances you're going through, how dark the night seems, or how much trouble is being piled on you, he's still with you. Now, there are times we don't see him and we get mad Because everybody knows God's with... Everybody knows God's with them when they're getting blessed. But nobody feels God with them when they're going through trouble. And they get all upset. Why did God leave me? God hasn't left you. Well, why would he let me go through this? Why, you know, blah, blah, blah. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Well, hold that thought. A lot of times when we get to that kind of self-pity, we forget and realize it's some mostly our fault. We do find ourselves in a lot of places we put ourselves. So, oh, preacher, now that's just me. No, it's not. Some of you need a wake-up call. Some of you need to realize that part of the problem in your life is you. Hold on. I do this with my eyes closed so nobody can accuse me of looking at them. Sometimes the problem is you. You've forgotten that he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Sometimes you've forgotten the word says that I don't care if 10,000 line up against me on one side, that God is my strength and my shield. He is my fortress and my deliverer. But no, we want everybody to feel sorry for us. And if Jesus showed up, you'd say, Jesus, why aren't you feeling sorry for me too? We want Jesus to join our pity party. We want Jesus to join in and be a part of all the sorrow and gloom and despair and agony on you. And Jesus is saying to them the same thing he says to us. I did not die and rise again for you to live in self-pity. I didn't die and rise again for you to walk around sorrowful all the time. Oh, woe is me. Look at where I'm at now. Look at what I got to go through. These guys are walking around with the knowledge that Jesus is alive, and they're just as gloomed and depressed as everything. And I got a feeling some of you came to church that way. You know Jesus is alive. You've asked him to forgive you of your sins, but you're just as depressed and just as upset as you've ever been in your life. Why? Because you don't realize the power that comes from knowing him and his power of his resurrection. He didn't suffer for you to act like that. He suffered, died, and rose again so you can live a victorious life. That doesn't mean God's always going to save you from your circumstance. I told you that before. But he can save you from you. Well, I'd be a fool to ask God to save me from all my problems. Especially the ones I got myself into. But to know that he's alive and to understand the fact he did all of that, that was all part of a plan for me. That was all part of a plan for you. So you don't have to live in depression. You don't have to live in pity. You can live in the power of his resurrection. These people walked all the way being told by Jesus everything that the scriptures had said. But you know what was different? What was different is when they went back to Jerusalem, they ran back. Now, I don't know if that seems significant to you, but I'm going to tell you how significant that is to me. Because here are two guys that are tired from a 7-mile walk all the way after being so depressed. I don't know about you, but when I get depressed, depression wears me out. Am I the only one that's ever been there? I hope not. But when I get depressed, I mean, it's like I don't want to move. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do nothing. I don't care how high the dishes stack up or how big the laundry pile gets. I just don't want to do nothing. And these guys had just walked. And not only are they depressed about Jesus dying on the cross, they got this stranger walking with them who's blasting them about not remembering the prophets. But when they know and they figure out it's Jesus, right at the height of it all. And when he starts to do what they remember the master last doing. See, I told you, that's a pivotal moment. See, the last time they remember anybody breaking bread is up there that night in the Last Supper. They only remember Jesus doing that. And now they're sitting there and all of a sudden, here's this stranger, and he's doing the same thing. How dare he do the same thing their master did? And all of a sudden, he breaks the bread, and they realize, oh, it is the master. He's been with us this whole time. The whole time, he's not just getting on to us. He's reminding us what he came for. He's reminding us that he still came to seek and save those that are lost. He came and went through for you and for me so that we don't have to live pitiful excuses of a life existence. We can live victorious in Jesus. We've got to get back to that point. We've got to get back to a point in our lives where we say, listen, we're not the tail end of this thing. God has made us priests and kings to live with him. We're not made to just walk around with this knowledge that Jesus is risen from the dead, but every time somebody asks us about it, we act like we don't believe it. Because the truth is, when we're cornered, a lot of times we'll rather run than tell the truth. He's alive. Amen. Jesus is alive. And it's time that we realize the days of sulking around because we're having to suffer for Jesus, those excuse days are over.
That's right.
We don't have any excuse for sulking around, acting all, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus, bless God. How about I'm living victorious in Jesus? Right. I'm not going to turn into some name and claim it preacher. Believe me, tomorrow I will not be driving a Ferrari in my parking lot. Besides, I don't think I can drive a Ferrari. I think they're all stick shifts. I can't drive a stick. But listen to me. I do believe in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead so I can get up in the morning and I can live a victorious day. I can walk up and know that my Redeemer lives. And that one day I'm going to see him face to face. I can live in the knowledge of not only knowing that he's alive, but acting like I believe he's alive. And that's where we got to get. This world looks at us as believers in Jesus Christ and say you believe, but where's the proof? Because the proof is not, hang on, let me call down Jesus. Please show up. That's what we want to do. I have so many people say, if Jesus would just show up, if we'd have signs and miracles in our church services, then people would know we believe in a risen Savior. No! They know you believe in a risen Savior because you act like you believe it. Amen. Because the way you live your life is you live your life in such a way that people know that you know that you know that you serve a risen God. Amen. Your actions are what people need to see. They don't need to see more signs and wonders. If you were here Sunday night, I told you, signs and wonders only serve as idols in the church anymore. God showed up and performed the sign, everybody would worship the sign. That's why Jesus said, those people that ask for a sign are evil and adulterous generation, because all they want to do is worship the item instead of the person who gave it to them. And I'm telling you, the world will know Jesus by you and me. And the way we act towards one another. And the way we act towards the world. Not because they see Jesus, but because they see Jesus in us. These guys, man, when they knew he was alive, they took off running. Why? Because they had to tell them as fast as they possibly could that they now know for certain Jesus is alive. And I'm telling you what, when's the last time we ran to tell somebody Jesus was alive? This world's waiting on us. Don't think they're waiting on a sign. They're sure not waiting on the rapture. I hope you realize this, but most people that aren't saved when the rapture takes place are not going to get saved. You think it's hard for people to come to Jesus now with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit over their lives? What do you think they're going to do when the Spirit of God no longer strives to convict men of their sins? You think they're really going to come to Jesus then? Because the world's changing? No. Bombs have been dropped on cities. Hurricanes have destroyed cities. Tornadoes and earthquakes have destroyed cities. If people aren't going to come to God there and then, what do you think they're going to do when the rapture takes place and the Spirit of God no longer draws men? I'm telling you something. Listen to me. This world is not waiting on a sign or a natural disaster or some kind of fall flat on their back and they can't go anywhere lower convicting time for God. They're waiting on you and me to start believing what we say we believe. and start acting the way we believe it, and start running to people that we know need Jesus more than they need water and bread, and we need to start going to them and telling them, listen, Jesus is alive and you need him. Amen. You need him. Jesus said, they'll know you, why? Because of the love you have one for another. They'll know you because you act the way you're supposed to act, not because you do things. Because of signs and wonders. It's because you do what you're supposed to do. You act the way you're supposed to act. You talk the way you're supposed to talk. And you believe, you act in such a way that people understand you believe what you're talking about. No more pity parties for the church, because we serve a risen Savior. So I'm glad you watched the service today, but come on, you know, it's time to get off the old couch and come to church for yourself. Service times are at 10:30 Sunday morning, 6 p.m. Sunday night, 7 p.m. Wednesday night. Located at 582 Rockingham Road. That's on Route 5, across from Everyday Inn in Bellows Falls. You can also visit our website at www.faithchristianag.com. God bless you. Have a great day.